Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Home Again by Callie George. Narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley. 1. The Dress Disaster. There was no place like the Hartwood Hotel. It was the biggest tree in the whole of Fernwood Forest. At one end lay the foothills. At the other, the village, and in the very center grew the Grand Hotel, with the stream winding its way around it like a long, curly whisker. Everyone loved the Hartwood, especially in the summertime. Mostly it was a resting spot for animals, but for staff, like Mona the maid, it was home. A very pokey home. Sunshine and spines filled the hotel as everyone, staff and guests alike, prepared for a porcupine wedding. Not just any porcupines. Ms. Prickles, the cook, was marrying Mr. Quilson, a former guest who had swept her off her paws. Today was the big day. Mona and her best friend, Tilly the squirrel, had been excused from their maid duties. They were in Mona's room getting dressed up. Tilly could be a bit of a grump, but even she couldn't be grumpy when they put on new heart-patterned dresses instead of their aprons, then ran upstairs to help the bride get ready. They found Ms. Prickles tucked in a corner of the salon on the second floor. The room was packed quill to quill with her porcupine relatives primping and preparing. It was almost impossible to move without being poked. Luckily, the salon was run by a possum who could hang from the ceiling by his tail. That's what he was doing now, busily shining quills upside down. Mona had never been properly introduced. Perkins liked to keep to himself, and it was no surprise, considering how bossy everyone seemed.
"Make sure you cover up my gray ones with soot polish," an old porcupine ordered the possum.
"Am I finished sitting under the fur fluffer?" asked another. "It's hot enough in here without having added heat. And besides, I don't even have fur."
It was very hot. The whole summer had been. Anxious guests were beginning to lose their tempers.
"Don't tug so hard," complained the old porcupine.
Whish! One of her clues flew out and stuck in the ceiling, narrowly missing the possum and drawing everyone's attention. Perkins gave Mona a wide-eyed look. Mona winced. Being the smallest of the staff, she had managed, so far, to avoid being poked. But not Tilly. She'd been poked twice. Make that three times.
"Ouch!" Tilly cried. "Mona, you do it."
She handed Mona the wedding dress. As Tilly soothed her sore side, Mona tugged the dress over Ms. Prickles' spines. Two quills ripped through the fabric.
"This will never do," Ms. Prickles moaned.
Mona was about to agree when she realized the porcupine wasn't talking about her dress. She was consulting a list clutched in her paw.
"If one more guest shows up, I don't know what will happen," she said under her breath.
"But I thought everyone had arrived," said Mona.
"As if," said Tilly, rolling her eyes.
"More keep coming," replied Ms. Prickles. "I wish weddings weren't so full of surprises. I prefer my seed cakes stacked where I can see them. I can count the number of aunts and uncles and cousins here."
She glanced around the room, then said, in a hush,
"And you'd think, with so many relatives, one of them would be able to cook."
She sighed.
"My aunt can barely boil a barley seed, and she's in charge of the cake. Oh, goodness knows what will happen."
Truthfully, Mona couldn't imagine anything better than having a big party with so many relatives. This was the first wedding she'd ever attended. But Tilly, who had overseen a number of them at the hotel, said that wedding parties were weird. You never know who might start crying. Indeed, it looked like Ms. Prickles might right now. "Don't worry," Mona said. Usually, Ms. Prickles was the voice of comfort. "Let's get you dressed." Together, she and Tilly tugged on the dress.
Rip!
It split right in half. Just as Ms. Prickles burst into tears, Henry popped his head into the salon.
There you are, he cried. Henry was Tilly's younger brother and also a bellhop at the hotel. He scurried around the porcupines to get to Mona and Tilly. He got poked a few times, but didn't seem to mind. Mona could tell he was excited because his red tail was puffed up as big as his body.
Guess what? Guess what?
He didn't wait for them to answer.
Someone's here.
Ms. Prickles's sobs grew louder.
Another guest?
She cried. Another porcupine? Groaned Tilly. Henry nodded his head vigorously, then shook it.
Yes, no, I mean, it is a guest, but it isn't a porcupine.
Henry took a deep breath.
And she isn't here to see you, Ms. Prickles,
he pointed at Mona.
She's here for you.
Mona couldn't believe it. Now that was a surprise. 2. The Mysterious Mouse. Who could be waiting for me? Mona wondered as she hurried down the staircase that circled the center of the tree, from the stargazing balcony at the tip top to the hibernation suites in the deep dirt. The majestic old oak could accommodate all types of guests, from feathered to furred. Still, Mona wasn't expecting a visitor of any kind. She didn't know anyone, other than the staff and a few guests she'd made friends with. When she reached the lobby, she paused. It was just as full of porcupines as the salon. The pokey guests were hustling and bustling about, paws full of packages and decorations. The whole lobby was decorated for the wedding. Prickly purple thistles were strung along the front desk. Blue ones hung above the front door. Thistles were even blooming in the fireplace. Mr. Hartwood had given strict orders not to light any fires, as they could be dangerous during hot, dry summers. Only the kitchen was allowed one, but even so, the menu had been featuring mostly salads. So the fireplace was filled with a giant bouquet of flame-colored thistles instead. And there, in front, stood a guest who was definitely not a porcupine. It was a mouse. In all the months that Mona had worked at the Hartwood, 3 whole seasons, she had never encountered another mouse. Her parents had stayed there long ago. Her dad had even carved the heart on the front door. But Mona had yet to meet one of her own kind at the Grand Hotel. Why was a mouse here? To meet her? Did it have something to do with her parents? The new arrival wore a large straw hat with a fancy pink bow on the back. In one paw, she clutched a suitcase made from a box that said matches. Mona had never seen a suitcase like that before. Tucked under the mouse's arm was a rolled-up pinecone press. She was staring at the sign above the fireplace mantel. We live by protect and respect, not by tooth and claw. And she was nodding. That's our motto, said Mona, coming up behind her. I was told you were looking for me. The mouse turned and, upon seeing Mona, smiled. Mona was sure she'd never met the mouse before, yet something about her seemed familiar. She was much older than Mona. Her fur was graying, but still glossy, and her eyes were kind. She had white gloves on, and around her neck hung a little seed carved into a heart. Her jacket was embroidered with the letters IB. Mona didn't know what it stood for, but the effect was very stylish. Mona was glad she was dressed up, too.
Mercy me, you must be Mona,
said the mouse in a slow, sweet voice, putting down the suitcase and pulling off a glove. She extended her paw.
I've heard all about you.
You have? Stammered Mona, shaking the mouse's paw.
Yes.
The mouse studied Mona from nose to tail. For a moment, she seemed lost for words. Then at last she said,
You look so young. I expected. But no, of course you're young,
hurried the mouse.
Were you always a maid?
No, actually, I started working at the hotel only a year ago, said Mona.
Oh, and you were living with your parents before that?
No, Mona said again, feeling a little confused by the questions. My parents, they died a long time ago. I don't have any family. The mouse touched her necklace.
Oh, Sugar, I am so sorry, she said. She really meant it, Mona could tell.
It's okay, you didn't know, said Mona. I have a great home now here at the Heartwood. The mouse nodded.
Word has it, you are a marvelous maid, Mona blushed.
But who are you?
My name is Strawberry, the mouse replied. I'm from the In-Between.
The In-Between? Questioned Mona.
Yes, you haven't heard of us?
Strawberry looked disappointed.
Of course we have, burst a voice.
Giles, the front desk lizard, popped out from between two porcupines and straightened his green bow tie.
The In-Between is only the best hotel for mice and small creatures in the village. What a wonderful idea to repurpose the In-Between floors of a house and turn them into a specialty hotel. Mind you, I must say I'd be quite concerned about being sighted living amongst the large.
I make sure our staff are very well trained and very careful, said Strawberry.
What a pleasure to meet one of the owners. Is it true you have over a dozen of the best mice maids working for you? So, so impressive.
Giles's tongue flicked in and out. Now it was Strawberry's turn to blush.
Yes. Well, I actually thought all the best mice maids worked for me, which is why I was surprised to hear about Mona.
Tisk tisk, no getting any ideas, said Giles, giving Mona's shoulder a protective pat. This is one of our star employees. We're not letting you steal her away.
Mona felt her cheeks grow warm again, but she was very glad Giles had said it, and she didn't have to. She didn't want to go anywhere. She loved the Heartwood.
Oh, mercy me. Of course not, said Strawberry. I just wanted to meet her and see your lovely hotel. I have some vacation time, and I've been meaning to visit, though I don't like to travel outside the village. The forest is a touch frightening.
Mona didn't think it was so scary, especially in the bright, warm summer, but she'd grown up in Fernwood. Strawberry went on.
The In-Between would so love a review in the Pinecone Press, and I was hoping to get some ideas from the Heartwood.
Giles frowned. Strawberry quickly added, only ideas, of course.
Perhaps Mona could show me around, as long as Mr. Heartwood doesn't mind.
Mona knew that Mr. Heartwood liked to help other hotels. Recently, he'd helped his friend Benjamin the Beaver open the Beaver Lodge, a hotel for water animals.
I'd love to, except, started Mona.
Except it's our cook's wedding day, interrupted Giles, and the celebration is being held at the Heartwood. A cook marrying a guest, highly unusual, but who's to stop true love? It's the biggest wedding we've ever hosted, and Mr. Heartwood is busy in the garden setting up. I must excuse myself, too. You know how it is. Mona can help you check in.
With that, Giles gave a bow and hurried off to stop a young porcupette who had gotten her paws on a guest book and a paw full of inky pens.
Please come this way, said Mona to Strawberry. I'll get you your key. And then I'll have to excuse myself, too. I need to help the bride with her dress. It's a bit of an emergency.
Mona paused.
You see, there's a...
Fire! Came a cry. Fire!
3. The Cake Catastrophe.
Fire!
The cry came again. Through the crowd of porcupines pushed another porcupine, whom Mona recognized. It was Ms. Prickle's Uncle Bristle. All his quills were sticking straight up. Mona's fur stuck straight up, too.
Fire?
This was exactly what Mr. Heartwood, what everyone, feared most. But when she got a better look at Uncle Bristle and noticed that he was covered in flour and wearing Ms. Prickle's apron, Mona knew it wasn't a forest fire.
The wedding cake, she cried.
Immediately, Mona rushed to the stairs, weaving between perplexed porcupines. With every step down toward the kitchen, the smell of smoke grew stronger. Uncle Bristle hurried close behind her. Mona stepped into the kitchen and, poof, into a billowing cloud of smoke. It was coming from the fireplace at the back.
Mona could make out another porcupine there, Ms. Prickles' Auntie Barb. She was wearing one oven mitt on her head and flapping the smoke away with another. Didn't she know oven mitts weren't hats? And they weren't for fanning smoke either. Fanning a fire made it grow. Mona peered through the haze, searching for something to put out the flames. The kitchen was such a mess, it was hard to find anything. The big table, where the staff shared their meals, was covered in acorn flour, cake batter, and paw prints. Spoons and seeds were scattered across the floor, pots and pans piled up in the shell sink. At last, Mona spied a dish full of dirty water. Grabbing it, she ran to the fireplace and tossed the water on the flames. Splash! Sizzle! Poof! An even greater cloud of smoke filled the air. Mona held her breath and squinted her eyes as everyone disappeared from view. Slowly, the smoke cleared. To Mona's great relief, the flames were gone.
Oh, good, she said.
Oh, no,
shrieked Auntie Barb, whose voice was as sharp as her name. But look, the fire's out, said Mona. It's okay.
It's not okay,
the porcupine shrieked even louder. She pointed to the baking shelf. There, above the coals, looking very much like a big lump of coal itself, was the wedding cake.
But I saved us, stammered Mona. The kitchen could have caught fire. The cake was burning.
It was supposed to burn, replied Auntie Barb. It was going to be a burnt cake.
Don't you mean bunt cake?
Asked Mona, who remembered Ms. Prickles once making a strange cake that looked a little like a nest.
Yes, burnt, said Auntie Barb. The fire was on purpose. Uncle Bristle just overreacted. He doesn't appreciate my cooking. Nobody does. Now it's ruined.
The quills on her head poked right through the oven mitt.
Ruined?
A voice snipped back. Mrs. Higgins, the hedgehog housekeeper and sternest of the staff, strode into the room.
Mona saved you from burning down the entire hotel. What on earth were you thinking? This is the dry season. We must be extra careful not to start any fires.
Mrs. Higgins crossed her arms.
But we had to bake a cake, said Auntie Barb. Bake, yes. Burn, no,
scolded Mrs. Higgins.
Burn, bake, everyone's a critic,
cried Auntie Barb, bursting into tears.
I've had enough.
With difficulty, she pulled off the punctured oven mitt. She threw it on the table and stormed out of the room, Uncle Bristle following dutifully behind her.
Suit yourselves, Mrs. Higgins called after them, adding, under her breath, I've never seen such prickly porcupines.
But, Mrs. Higgins, the cake, who will bake it?
Said Mona. Mrs. Higgins looked a little worried.
Yes, well,
maybe I can, came a voice.
In the doorway stood a mouse wearing a big hat.
Strawberry. She seemed hesitant to come in. I may be on holiday, but I was wondering if you could use a spare pair of paws.
At the in-between, I'm always chasing one disaster after another. I'm especially good in the kitchen.
The in-between? Said Mrs. Higgins. That's a fine establishment. But you're a guest. We couldn't possibly.
Then, to Mona's surprise, Mrs. Higgins shook her head.
It's too late for proper protocol. The cake should have been done hours ago. Are you sure?
The mouse nodded. Mona smiled.
Very well. Come in, come in. Mona, show her around the kitchen, directed Mrs. Higgins. Weddings, she sighed as she left. I am glad Mr. Higgins and I eloped. It really is the sensible way of doing things.
Strawberry took off her hat, and Mona found her an apron and one for herself, too. Then, together, they set to work. Mona had only helped in the kitchen once before, making tiny treats for insects, but she was good at cleaning and fetching. She scurried back and forth, bringing acorn flour from the storage room, freshly picked berries from upstairs, and honey from the house hive, run by Captain Ruby, who preferred being called Captain to Queen. Strawberry, meanwhile, measured and stirred. After Mona had fetched all the ingredients, she cleaned. As she swept the floor with her upside-down dandelion broom, she told Strawberry a bit about the heartwood. Soon, the kitchen was just how Ms. Prickles liked it, spick and span. And it smelled right again, too, rich and nutty and sweet. The cake was on the baking shelf, and Strawberry was watching it closely.
"It looks perfect," said Mona. "It's my specialty, very berry shortcake," said Strawberry. "Though I don't make it much, most of our food is collected from the floors."
"Collected?"
"Yes. Staff take turns finding and picking up crumbs from under tables and chairs. Then the sorters in the kitchen organize the crumbs. And our cooks add toppings, like cinnamon and sugar. But I prefer proper baking. I've always been good with my paws."
Good with her paws? That was exactly what Mona had heard others say about her mom, and it gave her a strange, happy shiver.
"Kitchens are my favorite spot," continued Strawberry.
"Mine too," said Mona. She'd met Tilly in this kitchen and celebrated her first St. Slumber's supper here as well.
"They're so cozy and safe. At least,"
Strawberry gave a pointed glance at Aunt Barb's cake, "at least at the in-between." Mona and Strawberry both laughed. Strawberry wiggled her whiskers.
"Ah, there, it's ready. Whiskers curl when the cake is baked."
She put on the oven mitt without holes and lifted the cake from the baking shelf. Mona quickly picked up Strawberry's hat off the table to make room for it. The cake looked beautiful, like a tiny golden moon. After letting it sit a moment, Strawberry carefully cut it into the shape of a heart. She scooped up the trimmings and handed one to Mona.
"And now for the best part. Go on, sugar, take a bite."
Mona did. Strawberry and honey melted on her tongue. It was delicious.
"A quick cool, a bit of cream, and it will be ready," said Strawberry. "We can't keep the bride waiting on her special day."
The bride. All at once, Mona remembered Ms. Prickles and her dress. She couldn't believe she'd forgotten. Tilly wasn't very good with problem solving. She was probably still scrambling to find a replacement. There were plenty of porcupines there, but none of them would have brought a wedding dress. What could Mona do? She glanced at the hat in her paw. The big bow bobbed merrily. Maybe they didn't need another dress. Mona had an idea.
4. Strawberry stays. The salon was empty now, except for a distressed porcupine and a very grumpy Tilly.
"Where were you?"
Tilly exclaimed the moment Mona returned.
"I borrowed 3 different dresses from 3 different guests, and look,"
said the squirrel, pointing to a stack of shredded fabric on the floor.
"I'm sorry," said Mona. "There was a small problem, but everything's fixed."
"Not everything," cried her friend. "What about the dress?"
"About that," said Mona. "I think I know what to do."
The music had just started when Mona, Tilly, and Ms. Prickles arrived in the courtyard. Blackberry and raspberry vines were woven into a heart-shaped arbor, and pots of thistles lined the mossy aisle. As the music grew louder, Mona and Tilly joined the rest of the staff, slipping onto mushroom-capped chairs. Mona had never seen all the staff so dressed up. Mr. Hartwood was wearing a top hat, Mrs. Higgins had a lace handkerchief, and Mr. Higgins sported an extra blossom pinned on his prickles.
"Oh,"
the crowd gasped as Ms. Prickles made her way down the aisle. She wasn't wearing a wedding dress. She wasn't wearing a dress at all. Instead, bows bobbed from her quills in a bouquet of bright colors. Mona's paws were still sore from tying them all, but it was worth it. Ms. Prickles looked spectacular, or so Mona thought. But Mr. Quilson started crying at the sight of her.
"Good," whispered Tilly, much to Mona's surprise. "The groom is supposed to cry."
Weddings really are weird, Mona thought.
but also wonderful. Everyone cheered when the little porcupette made it down the aisle without dropping the rings hanging off his quills. Everyone cheered again when the two porcupines kissed, except for Henry, who looked away, embarrassed. But he cheered extra loudly when it was time to eat cake, and made sure he was first in line. All the guests, and staff too, loved Strawberry's very, very shortcake. In fact, Mrs. Prickles, upon taking a bite, was so impressed she said, "Now, this is who should take my place while I'm on my honeymoon." Mona couldn't agree more. "If you need me," said Strawberry, blushing. "Only for a few weeks, though, while my holiday lasts."
"It's settled, then,"
said Mr. Hartwood, stepping forward, presenting his plate for a second slice.
"A cook to stay while Mrs. Prickles is away. What splendid luck."
And then, even more luck. It began to rain. A summer shower played like music across Fernwood Forest, refreshing the whole earth. Mona ducked under a tall toadstool and watched as everyone, laughing, hurried for shelter too. The newlywed couple, Henry and Tilly and all the porcupine relatives, from porcupets to great-grandparents. What a lot of families. Mona smiled and finished her cake, just in time. Tilly ducked under the toadstool, but she wasn't after Mona's cake. She was there to grump. "Henry wants to play in the puddles. He better not splash anyone, especially not that fancy new mouse." She glanced at Strawberry, who was under the arbor, pinned between two porcupines. Why would she want to work here as a cook when she's supposed to be on vacation? Who wants to work on vacation?
"Strawberry does," replied Mona. "She's here to learn about the Hartwood to help her hotel, the In-Between."
"The In-Between?" said Tilly. "All the best mouse maids work there, except for you." Tilly raised her eyebrows. "Do you think she's here to steal you away?"
Mona's whiskers twitched. "That's exactly what Giles said, but I don't think so. Strawberry didn't seem like the stealing sort." Tilly nodded and glanced at Strawberry again.
"You know, she looks a bit like you, Mona. Do you think she might be, a relative?" whispered Mona.
The thought was sweeter than any piece of cake. She had everything else. A wonderful home, plenty of food, and a best friend, grumpy though she was. But she didn't have any real family. She remembered the questions Strawberry had asked and how she was good with her paws. But Mona shook her head.
"No, she would have told me."
Before Tilly could reply, a flash came from the sky, lighting up the trees in the distance, like the flicker of 1,000 fireflies. Mona gasped. It seemed like a sign. But of what, the sky wouldn't share. Back inside, the thought of a sign soon slipped Mona's mind as the band began to play. "Put your prickly paw in mine. You're my pokey wokey porcupine." Mona stayed up very late, dancing with Tilly till her paws hurt. She kept stealing glances at Strawberry, trying hard to see any resemblance. Both their noses were extra pointy. Mr. Hartwood was the only one who didn't dance, sitting on a root, sipping chilled honey.
"An old badger like me is content with his tree," he said.
But he did join in for one last picture. In fact, it was his idea.
"One of us all to put on the wall," he said.
Nobody needed to be told where to stand. All the staff gathered around him.
"Very good, very good,"
said the official memory maker, a millipede, whose arms and legs were already busy drawing.
"Your portrait will only take a moment."
"Stop squirming, Henry," said Tilly.
"I'm not. I'm trying to tell you Francis is here."
And he was. When the picture was done, it was time for the prickly pair to head off on their honeymoon in a wagon pulled by Francis the deer. Mona stared at the ribbons on the back of the wagon until they were whisker thin. She would miss Mrs. Prickles. Mr. Hartwood must have read her mind, since he placed a heavy paw on her shoulder.
There, there, Miss Mouse. Mrs. Prickles will be back soon, he said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?